Hey, it's your boy Brandon here with some holiday cheer. We're mixing it up. We're doing a special Podzuki / Secret Super Sentai side project Christmas special altogether. The other twist is just me for your Kaiju Hollywood bad boy Brandon, and it's just special guest Jonathan Shannon back to talk three episodes of Tokusatsu that are completely buck wild. We might make this a yearly thing because it was really fun, but you get a little bit of a fun one-on-one between us talking about the sheer madness that this is, doing a little fun 2024 recap, and in generally just having a holiday cheerful time. I said that weird, but whatever. As always, if you like this podcast, tell a friend, get people to listen, have them subscribe on whatever format they use. You can always email us at podzukipodcast@gmail.com and we'll read it off air. We got one recently, which we have to tackle in our next episode, so keep it up. And have yourself a merry 2024 if it's left. You got like a week if you're listening to it now. Otherwise, it's in the past, brother.
Whoa, keep my business off the ground. Switch my style like I switch hands. Going to war in foreign land. Fuck out the way, bitch, back it up. Shit better get played in the palace.
Wait. The internet is like pure garbage at this point.
You just can't enjoy it anymore like you used to. Yeah. It's like the Wild West in a bad way.
I mean, I feel like, did we kind of like earn it because like we let this generation and ours be like, we just want content. And like, okay, here's your monkey paw of a wish.
I refuse to grow up and challenge myself.
Yeah, the Fall Guy, that's not going to be a top movie. Nickel Boys, that, once again, that sounds
that
like
that sounds fake.
That sounds like a fake movie. That's like Nickel a poster. That's a poster in Seinfeld, like next to fucking, was it Amelia or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah, the sexual awakening of something.
Yeah. My favorite thing, actually, maybe this is a good way to start the episode, is that, you know, Seinfeld always played it safe where they'd have made-up movies and they wouldn't, like, get too mean or toward the panda thing. But I love that they went out of their way to talk about how bad the English patient sucks.
Yeah, that's in a couple shows.
Yeah, and that rules, because that movie does suck. It's just...
American Dad makes fun of it. I swear another show makes fun of it, too.
I think the fall of liberalism in America is when we decided that the English patient was good in the 90s. That's when it all became neoliberal after that.
It was long and boring, and we decided that made it good.
Yeah, no one challenged them, and that's how we are.
God, you're right, because Marvel movies are at least 2 hours each, no matter what.
It's just fucking pieces of shit. I do want to play that Marvel Rivals. I hear it was good.
The Hero Shooter game?
Yeah.
I have heard it was good. There's been some buzz about Squirrel Girl.
Do you ever feel like you are that, like, comic book guy and it just upsets you when you realize that you see that evil in yourself? Because I saw it, like, buzzing around online and I wanted to be like, you plebeians know just finding about Squirrel Girl now? I have the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl Volume 1. Like, that was great comics back in 2017?
I always feel terrible because I'm the dude I'd say worst thing ever, like literally. Yeah. Every time I watch something, I'm like, that was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we should just get into it. Welcome to a very special Podzuki / Super Sentai side project. As we're gonna do this with Zach, it was gonna be me, you, and Zach talking three episodes of different Super Sentai or Kamen Rider Christmas specials, which we are gonna do. But then Zach got the vid,
yeah,
and then he said we should still record. So I texted you, and you're like, oh yeah, let's do it, because I feel like We intimately know each other.
We're very like, deep, dude.
I'm one of your co-hosts, Brandon Kirkman, today. And then I guess you're like co-host and guest.
Yes.
Jonathan Shannon.
Pulling double duty.
Yeah. Which, we've had you for a few episodes of Podzuki, a few episodes of Super Sentai.
Yes.
You've done the NPC Incorporated Christmas special. You're doing the Christmas one. I think you're like the de facto Christmas guy.
I got my tendrils everywhere in Christmas.
That's like a Santa village and a man by Santa.
Oh my God.
I feel like we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the
Kaku
Ranger.
That's got to be the most talked about one. That was...
Well, I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead and get into it, because I kind of want to warm up to it, but one of the episodes we're going to talk, and I have it written down, was we're going to talk about episode 45 of Ninja Sentai Kaku Rangers, which is actually... a lot of the Super Sentai shows I haven't watched. I've watched most of Kaku Rangers, and for the reason that you saw this episode, every episode is like, how insane can we go? And I love it so much. And they did not disappoint. Their Christmas episode, I think, is like I was saying earlier, it would be like a yearly tradition to rewatch it now.
My mouth was open during one part of it, because I just didn't expect what was going to happen, and I just didn't know what to expect.
Because it starts off, like, at 11, and it just keeps ramping up. Like,
there's Little Santa, which is just a kid that says he's a little Santa Claus. And they're like, what are you doing giving out these presents? And he's like, they're booby-trapped. And there's like, oh no, there's evil centipedes on it. And like, it just keeps going up and up and up.
Never de-escalates. Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll get into that as we go, but...
Yeah, we'll get there.
This is kind of a Christmas holiday 2024 retrospective, spectacular, mourning all of the CEOs that we love that have passed.
Yes.
We want to give a shout out to CEO Brian Thompson. He's a real one.
Those poor rich murderers, dude.
We're going to pour out one for... fuck that guy. He got murked. He deserved it. If you cultivate an entire culture of violence and live off the profiteering of it, it comes for you eventually. I'm sorry, buddies. I'm sorry every CEO that looks like Peter Thiel, nervous as fuck on every call now. We're like, oh shit, they're coming for me.
I don't know if you heard about this, but in New York, they're contemplating having a special 911 line for CEOs.
Like, that's like a 30 Rock joke, right? Yeah. That's like a Jack Donahue has a call line that he can do that for.
It's a Simpsons joke.
Yeah.
There's one where they're like, here's the real number, and it's 912.
That's really good. hey, once again, The Simpsons predicted it. I love that stupid joke of, like, I think because it's been around for so long and they have a decent batting average, but, like, whenever you see that post, I'm like, Simpsons predicted Hillary Clinton winning 2016. we didn't even get into politics, but this has also been a fucking garbage year.
It'll get better.
it gets better.
It gets better.
Lady Gaga is so right. It gets better. Yeah, it's going downhill.
You are beautiful, and it gets better.
Yeah. You don't need to do anything. Just vote. It's going to be fine. We're on a trajectory towards... What's the bullshit that Obama says? We're on a trajectory towards...
I don't know.
Decency. History's on a trajectory towards good or something like that. Like, basically just saying, like, I want to keep everybody satiated. I'll please the corporations. You don't have to do anything. Don't pay attention to anything going on.
He's brave enough to say everything is fine.
Yeah. And look how we're doing. Yeah. Man, just the world's most cynical president, I think about all the time. Just, oh boy. Wow.
What a way to start.
Yeah, what a
Merry Christmas,
Merry
everybody.
Merry Christmas. Fuck you. We try not to do politics too much, and I say that in every episode. We really get into it a lot. It's fine. I mean, we did get the good news. I did get the early Christmas present of CEO Brian Thompson getting shot.
Yes, that was delightful.
For one day, it was honestly like Christmas morning of seeing the left and the right finally united in beliefs of, like, fuck that guy.
I was briefly like, oh my god, they're never going to find him. We're actually going to have a new American mythos. Like,
God, if we got, like, a new, like, Zodiac killer out of that, too, that would be, like, two Christmas presents. But then he's fucking Luigi Mangione fucking going to the McDonald's!
He got caught at McDonald's! And, how American is that shit?
And then the snitch possibly not getting the money, too, because...
Perfect microcosm of America.
Oh, you thought you were going to play by the rich corporate overlords rules and win? That's interesting.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah. You and I can't even get a fucking free cheeseburger, you dipshit. Fucking got cheeseburgled. Yeah. Let's just get into, I think, 2024 for a good year for music, I want to say.
Yes, I think so, too, actually.
I got a little list here, I should say. I'm pulling mine up here, too. But, like, off the bat, do you have, like, I think a more fun thing than, like, a favorite album? Do you have, like, a favorite song of 2024?
Favorite song of 2024? Let me see. The band, I don't know if you've heard about, they're from Oklahoma. It's a metal band called Chat Pile.
Chat Pile is a great name. I'm writing this down.
Awesome name. Very, very fun, like, very fun metal band from Oklahoma, of all places.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma!
Sorry. Oklahoma. Yeah. I want to make sure I have the name of the song right. I'm just going to pull up the band.
Yeah, but since it's just me and you, I feel like we can take our time, and also I'll be doing a lot of editing.
And everything out.
Yeah.
It's just silence. Who cares? It's not a problem. Mask is a great song, but the... I'll search the one of the words I know from the name of the title.
They all look like guys I could hang out with as soon as I pulled up, which is great.
It's I Am a Dog Now. It's amazing. It's such a good track.
Dog Now. I feel like I might just, like, fucking go for it and, like, play a few seconds of these songs that we say for each of these.
Yeah, dude.
With a little silence. I'm gonna listen to this later. I love that. The songs are on this. I'm looking at the entire Cool World release. It's Frownland, Funny Man, Milk of Human Kindness. This is a band I'm gonna love.
Chappell fucking rules. Yeah. We need to discuss this after this as well. But yeah, Chappell rules. Great band.
I'm like adding this just to the favorite songs, because alone to the fact that it's called I'm a Dog Now, this could be the worst song I ever hear, but by title alone, I'm like, that's great. I feel like I'm going for the unsilly option, though. I was recently introduced to a friend of mine, shout out to Taylor, of a band called Office Culture, and they put out a very somber album called Enough, and there's the first opening track, Hat Guy, I think's fantastic.
And fresh phantoms I identified in the boldness of the shapes, the warped visions in our eyes. Still
Culture. I've never heard of that band. I will definitely check that out.
I feel like I can show you the album cover and you can like get their vibe right away.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like contemplative, experimental, chill. But you know that they really like Steely Dan. They try to hide it. So, which is my kind of jam. I think it was this year too, but I think Piss Jeans as well. Was that 2023 or 2024? We're about to find out. Oh, it was 2024. I really like the album Half Divorce.
Piss Jeans? I've never heard of that band either. What genre is it?
They're just a straight old punk band.
Sounds punky. Yeah, that makes sense.
They're a bunch of dads that are upset at the world now. They used to not be dads. So I feel like I'm very relatable to them. They had one song off their album that I really liked. The whole album's fantastic. That's called Half Divorced, which is a great title.
Sounds very dad.
Yeah. The first track, though, which is a banger, was Killing All the Wrong People.
Okay.
So you already know the vibe they're going for. But there's one song that I really liked of theirs, which was Everywhere is Bad. It's a straight up like children's song. Like it's not a lot of curse words in it, but like it's talking about how every place in the world's bad, and the rhythm's kind of like that. So I've played it for Faye a few times, and she digs it a lot.
That sounds straight up like a Ween song.
Yeah, that's, honestly, I would say Piss Jeans is kind of like the Ween of punk.
Okay,
I'm putting that out there. So I'd say that's one of my. You know, I'll go through a few of my albums, and then I can throw it back over to you. I feel like, but Piss Jeans, Half Divorce. Once again, Office Culture is Enough album. One of my favorite artists of all times put out one too that I really like, Gruff Riss. He was the lead singer and guitarist of Super Free Animals before they broke up. But he put out an album called Sadness Set Me Free. It's a very fun, poppy, kind of experimental album. But, you know, I like an art punk a lot, I feel like, or an art pop album. Just going through and all that. I'd say, okay, if we're picking albums... Picking one album that is like your favorite of the year. Do you have any like that come to mind right away?
Yes. It's a French band. It's like space rock mixed with prog.
Like this a lot already.
Yeah. It's called the band name is Slift, SLIFT.
Ooh, a band that don't slift.
But it's the album's Ilion. I pronounced that correctly. I don't know.
That's right. French. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Should I say Ilion? Maybe French. Racist Frenchly.
Ow.
But it is so badass, dude. Yeah. It's just like. This, like, all the songs are, like, 10 minutes long. It's been a long time since I listened to a proggy album.
Yeah.
And it's badass. It's so good. It's just this trio, hard rock, proggy.
Okay, I'm gonna go through that. I'm looking forward to that. I feel like I'm having a hard time between the albums I really, really like to pick just one of them. JPEG Mafia put one out I really, really liked a lot. I don't know if I'd go for that or not, but I Lay Down My Life For You is the name of the album. Just a really solid, fantastic JPEG Mafia. I almost want to go for a really fun, just pop band that I like a lot, or I should say artist, called Mind Freak. She put out her first album. It's just a really fun one. Especially one that was just the title track, Museum of My Mess. It was really fantastic.
Mind Freak? Is that the name of the
Yeah, thing? Mind Freak. But I like that she spells it M-I-N-D-F-R-E-A-K-K-K-K.
Okay.
Oh, there's three Ks. I just realized.
Oh.
Uh-oh. I've been listening to the wrong names.
Oh.
I mean...
No, I can't fathom it being... Unless they have a song titled 1488, I think you're okay.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I gotta get out of here quick. No, it was a really good year for music. Nick Cave's new album I liked a lot, too.
I heard that was really good. I haven't checked it out yet, but I heard it's really good.
I wanted to see him live, and then he's coming through in April, and, like, he's going to the Salt Shed in Chicago, April 2025, and, like, the tickets are, like, $100 through Ticketmaster. And it reminded me of the dystopia of That Is America.
Dillinger Escape Plan did a show at Salt Shed, and it's they bumped up the time to be 3:30.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a weird time to start a show.
That's a really weird time.
So I went there, and there were so many bands... It started at 3:30, and I left at 10:30.
Ooh.
So, like, I'm like...
That's like a torture.
I'm at an age where that is in hard to do.
Yeah. I'd also give a shout-out to Tyler, the Creator, put out a new... I can't believe I said Taylor, the Creator. It's like, I just made it way too white for its own self. Tyler, the Creator, put out a new album called Chromacopia that I really liked a lot, too. I was playing a lot of it. Less Savvy Fave put out... Is it Less Savvy Fave or Less Savvy Fave?
I pronounce it Fave, but it could be Fave. I actually have no idea.
I feel like it's Less Savvy Fave. They put a new album out after like 11 years, I think, or something.
I know,
like
it's been forever.
That album fucking
They're
kicks ass, too.
They're an awesome band.
Yeah.
That's surprisingly good.
I loved that I got to see them live at Pitchfork way back before they took that long hiatus. But yeah, the Oi LSA... Or, Oi, that's funny. We LSA, they spelled it French and then they put their initials. It really throws me off. But that's a fantastic album. I really liked it. So I'd say that's like, those are my picks for the year. You know, go check them out. I'll put them like on a list or something. I don't know. Maybe I won't. Fuck you.
take that, listeners.
You're listening. Just go check it out. Pause it. Why do I gotta do everything? I'll probably put it in the episode description. Any other albums come to your mind?
The Slift of Leon was probably my favorite album of the year. Chap How Cool World, also phenomenal album. And then there was a jazz album that came out this year.
Ooh.
That was super good. The artist, it's the, I think it's the main person who's the head of the band.
Oh, can I guess? Because I think it's also one of my favorites, too. Is it Kasami Washington?
It's not. I haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah,
I've heard that was really good, though.
Yeah, Kasami Washington's album is probably one of my favorite this year, too.
It's Jordy Greep.
Jordy, okay, I'm going to listen to this one.
The name of the album is The New Sound.
Now that's, I love the, like, you're going all the way in.
Let me, you'll flip shit when you see the album art. I suggest everyone to look up the album art, because it is amazing.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up now. This is the part where I'm probably editing it, and you're just
hearing yeah, definitely. This is what it looks like.
The listeners at home, here's what, oh, that's amazing. That is beautiful.
Isn't that fucking badass?
All right, Kamasi Washington, I should say. Yeah, his album came out this year, fucking ripped too, Fearless Movement, which I feel like I said my favorite album going through a few of them was that I probably would choose Kamasi Washington, though, if I'm going for most plays, because I played the shit out of that album. Also, fantastic art for that one, too. Just really
Oh, cool. That is badass.
It's an Afrofuturistic cover of himself as a self-portrait, and I think his son. Jordy Greep is a good name. Okay. Yeah, I got that in. Yeah, it was a really good year for music, because I guess a bunch of other bad shit was going on. And then movies, I think we're going to leave it there. Movies fucking suck this year. Fucking deal with it.
I did watch one cool movie very recently.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Flow?
No, I haven't.
It's apparently from Latvia, I guess.
Latvia. Yeah. That's a made-up country from Doctor Doom, right?
Yes. Okay.
Is that racist? I don't know. If they're, like, white European, it's not. But if they are not, I'm in trouble. So I'm hoping their fingers are crossed for white European for Latvia.
So it's an animated film.
Okay.
About it. It's no dialogue the whole movie. Yeah. But it's a cat basically surviving a flood the whole movie.
Okay, I'm on board for that.
I watched it at Music Box recently.
Yeah.
It was really good. I highly recommend that film. That was probably... That and Anora were probably the only cool films I watched this year.
I really want to watch Anora really bad. I'm going to, you know, it's funny that I'm going to say this because we were mentioning earlier, I don't know if I'm going to cut out this part, but I'm going to get back to it. My favorite movie, and we just did it. It's going to be the episode we release after this episode because it's on Backtrack. Caitlin Czechorowski, we had on to talk Hundreds of Beavers.
That movie kicked ass. I did watch that as well.
It's my favorite movie that came out this year. Technically, its release was this year. It was actually finished producing, like, on the circuits for, like, a bunch of, I'm forgetting what they call them, international like film festivals.
All right.
In 2022, and then it got its official release this year, 2024. But yeah, Hundreds of Beavers, just, it's like a art house Looney Tunes film, basically.
It's on Tubi. It's totally free.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can watch it.
And it's really funny for me to say this is going to be my favorite movie. I'm going to edit this episode tomorrow to put it out in time for Christmas, and then after that, I'm releasing the Hundreds of Beaver episode with Caitlin Chekarovsky, which is fantastic, so you have something to look forward to. Yeah, it was just really super enjoyable. But we should get into the reason we're doing this.
Right.
So, me and Zach have been doing the Super Sentai side project for Podzuki on the side. And we wanted to go through and do some Christmas episodes of just Super Sentai shows over the years. So, I picked three. And one of them was Kamen Rider, because I wanted to do the original Kamen Rider. Because they had an episode that's a Christmas one from the original series. And then I picked two from the Super Sentai series. One in 1992 or 3, which was the Kaku Rangers, or the Ninja Sentai Kaku Rangers. Which I think we want to talk about last. We should save the best for last.
Yes, we should. We should. We should.
And then I also picked another one, which was the Hayukaju Go, Sentai
Go Ranger.
Gao Rangers.
Gao Ranger, not Go Ranger. Yeah. Gao Ranger. Right, right, right.
Well, the reason I know that is because Gao is Japanese for the onomatopoeia for basically like going roar.
Oh, okay.
Which is really fun. You should try that if you're ever sitting at home.
Japan has very interesting onomatopoeias.
Like one?
For dog?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of Japanese friends, and one of them, she'd be like, no, that's how dogs sound. Wan wan. I was like, no, I'm sorry. That's not how dogs sound. You're objectively wrong.
It's bark and it's wool. We got it right.
Nyan, I get for cat. That actually makes sense.
It's very meow. I feel like it is basically meow.
Yeah, it works. But,
yeah,
but
we're in the same ballpark.
Wan is wrong.
Wan is so
objectively wrong.
I would never correct another culture, once again, especially if it's not white and European, but they fucked up.
they did bad there.
But yeah, Gao is like basically their roar. Okay. But if you're ever sitting by yourself at home and just go, Gao! I'm like, okay, yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
That feels good. This was from a Super Sentai series running from basically 2001 to 2002. So it was definitely airing during September 11th, which is fun to think about. And I wrote down the description of the series because I feel like you kind of have to describe them, which is thousands of years ago, war between the humans and orgs were waged with the power of the ancient Gao warriors to aid them. They were eventually defeated, but of course the orgs are now reviving in modern day Tokyo and they have to fight them. They have cell phones that they transform with.
Orgs is the funniest name for bad guys. It's just such a perfect, it's an organization. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, it's an organization. It makes me think of orcas.
Also, it's super funny that you said Gao means roar. I didn't even make that connection. The first thing I note was, I love the roars. It was literally
There's a lot of roars.
Comment I wrote about it. It's like, oh, I love the roars.
Yeah, because the opening is like, literally the singer's going, Gao! Gao! Like, he's getting into it. Which is funny to imagine like an American equivalent of like just a Dio song from the 80s. I'm just going like, roar! Roar! Once again, I love watching these shows like this. Like, I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to go through other Super Sentai shows because there's 85 fucking episodes of Go Rangers. We'll eventually get through it. But, like, going into a show, like, especially in the late run of the seasons, and, like, there's so much mythos going on, it's so funny. It makes me, like, want to one day make a show where you just start there and you don't explain anything, you just keep going.
It literally starts with the guy being like, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep, and he's just holding a pillow.
Yeah, which is relatable. Shout out to that he pulled out a video game system to fuck around with, and it was a WonderSwan.
Was it really? I didn't actually pay attention. That's amazing. I always wanted a WonderSwan.
Yeah, my friend had one, but also he definitely wasted that money back in the day. Yeah, you have your classic Ranger set up. The colors are all there. You got your Black Ranger. You got your Red Ranger's the head one. And this one, he's like a wolf or something, I want to say.
And there's a Silver Ranger?
Okay.
That was the only one that I was like, oh, I haven't seen that
color
in a
while.
I've
seen a few random episodes of the Silver Ranger is the classic Green Ranger setup where he was a bad guy.
Oh,
he turned
okay.
back to the good side. He's helping him out. He's the cool dude. He definitely has that energy to him, which I liked a lot. But yeah, they see one of the orgs, which is the bad guys, dressed in a Santa Claus outfit, and he's the Santa org, which I love.
Yes, he's giving toys to children.
He's giving toys, and like, I love that they do the fake, okay, this is a revealing thing of me, maybe he's a stupid guy. But the episode went long enough where they were following him and he was just giving out toys and he wanted to be a good guy. The orgs run into him and they even beat him up saying, yo, stop trying to be friends with the children. He's like, I just want to celebrate Christmas. Can't we get along? And even I'm like, maybe he is a good
guy.
Yeah,
at first I was like, oh, it's clearly he's fooling the idiots.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's good. And then I was like, oh my God, he's getting beating up. Is he Jesus?
Yeah, he could be Jesus and Santa Claus in one guy. And I like that this is 2001, 2002 in Japan, so they have a better concept of what Santa Claus and Christmas is at this point for the culture. So they're having more fun with it, but there's more relatable points. When we get to Conker Ranger, like we said, yes. Holy shit. Yes.
So, yeah. When he's giving the toys out to the children, they're like, no, don't trust him, he's an orc. And the children are like, shut up, nerd. And they're like pushing these Conker Rangers out of the way.
The one woman, like, old lady. Like, you know, those children are funny, man. Of course, they're giving out evil presents. He was lying the whole time. I like that he even tried to say, I don't have a weapon, I just have a stinky saw.
Okay, and I want to take a very important moment to talk about how they test the stinky sock.
Yeah.
They give it to a random dog to pass out, and this dog is so excited to be on screen. Like, you see the dog pass out, but it's, like, this is clearly awake.
Yeah.
It's clearly awake and, like, smiling. It's, like, it's so weird to see a dog obviously smiling. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's, I loved it so much. It brought me a lot of joy. At this point, like I said, I'm a stupid guy, and I'm thinking, like, maybe he is a good guy. And then sure enough, he's like, okay, hey, maybe if you give me your transformation phone, then you can show that you're a good guy.
And I'm like, there's no way. Fuck. He has to be bad. He's like, why would you give that shit away? That's so insane.
Yeah, Red Ranger gives it over. He goes back to the orcs and be like, look, I got this fucking idiot's phone. They're like, yeah, we did it. It reveals that Santa Claus, the Santa Org, has been giving out these basically fake stockings that, like, absorb children.
To take their dreams? Is that their long-term goal, I guess?
Yeah. It's either their 5-year plan or their, like, 20-year plan for their career.
It's very confusing and barely delivered.
Yeah. So they're celebrating. He's basically fucking everyone up. And then, you know, they capture the Red Ranger. I love that when they call the team to say that the Red Ranger's team are, like, turned over to their side. They have him chained up as an illusion in the middle of, like, a field, just drinking
They're
wine.
They're sipping wine very classily when they come up. And
it's
like
an ongoing theme of, like, when somebody's, like, showing that they've turned sides, that they'll be, like, drinking wine, like, so, like, I'd say, like, just so leisurely with the bad guys. Because this was another episode once I was watching of Car Rangers, which is, like, another one from the 90s, where it's just, like, the guy goes bad, so he's just drinking a bunch of wine with them in the middle of, like, a fucking pier.
There's something delight. I guess because you're rich when you have wine. Yeah, it's got to be. You're rich and evil if you drink wine.
Wine is a bad guy juice for sure. I mean, I just want to put that out there.
Wine is bad guy juice.
Yeah. A good guy would either drink beer or water.
Maybe champagne to celebrate.
Maybe champagne. Yeah. If only it's like Christmas Eve. No, sorry, New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's. New Year's. Singing Auld Lang Syne.
Well, actually, so they can sing Auld Lang Syne. That's also when you can unify the bad guys and the good guys, so it's both a bad guy and a good guy juice.
There you go.
Which, champagne's a great uniter. But also, it is for rich people sometimes, and that's when it's evil. So you gotta be careful. Once again, shout out to CEO Brian Thompson getting shot.
Die, bitch.
We love it. More of those, please. Christmas came early. Future employers listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is not Jonathan Shannon.
Yeah, this is Brandon, not Kirkman. I don't think there's no way an employer's ever listened to a podcast episode that I've done, because if they did, there's no way I got that job. Like, this fucking idiot.
Yeah, kind of the end, I think.
Yeah. Anyways, I feel like we can just summarize this one pretty quickly. He breaks free from the cuffs slowly by using the sock to make one of them nauseated to drop the phone.
The bad guy, he's a Christmas org, but that's not his true form.
Yeah.
His true form is Chris Misery.
Chris Misery. His suit changes to having a scary mouth. It is a pretty badass design.
Both designs are cool and weird. Because the other one, he's like, it's weird reindeer coming out of his chest.
Yeah, like, but like in a sled almost, which I kind of like. So it's like a full Christmas outfit altogether. I feel like this is kind of a moth RuPaul's Drag Race to get into the fashion of it.
Moth RuPaul's Drag Race.
One thing I do like is that this is such a 2000s look for everybody, too.
Yes.
The bad guy designs are just pretty cool. The Ranger suits for this are very basic, but I like it. I feel like it's very nostalgic to me.
It feels we grew up in the 2000s. It's very much our era.
Yeah, this was for daddy.
I have a very fun note. You asked me to watch these just a few days ago. This is very, very last minute, but so I was like, oh, maybe my wife Debbie would love watching this with me.
Yeah.
So we watched this first, and after this episode, she goes, I gotta do something else, and got up and left.
Shout out to Debbie, past guest. Also, respect that so much. She was like, I can't do this again.
She was like, no, that's enough of this bullshit. She went to go back.
Okay. Here's what I want to propose here. If you'd started off with the Cocky Rangers episode, she would have been in.
I think so.
But opposite, you would have gone to this episode and be like, oh, fuck yeah. This.
No, it was a good like direction that we went with this. The order I chose, yeah, it was great.
And then I feel like this is what I feel like we'll do individual ratings out of Christmas Cheer. 3 out of 5 Christmas Cheer for me for this one. Just getting right into it. It's very standard. I'm putting a note above like a 2.5 just by a little bit because it was fun. But this is exactly like I think what you would imagine if you're watching like a Super Sentai / Power Rangers / any tokusatsu show of like this is what will happen. This is what will go down. There'll be some funny parts. There's a lot of fun fights. That's it. How'd you feel about it?
I think I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. At first, I was kind of meh on it. Then when it became Christmasery, it blew my mind. Christmasery was like one of the funniest names. I lost my shit at seeing Christmasery. I was like, that is such a perfect name for a bad Christmas character.
I feel like the writers for these, whatever they were in Japan, were having fun with all these episodes.
Yeah.
Which I think we'll get into the Kamen Rider episode, but I'm going to go grab another beer.
I drummed a little bit on the table.
Oh, nice. Well, maybe I will now. Cheers. Cheers to the holidays. Yes. Thanks for doing this again.
No, this is awesome. I'm super pumped.
Getting into Kamen Rider, we have the OG, original series. I was surprised. So I basically went through a list of like Christmas episodes for Super Sentai, Christmas episodes in like Tokusatsu series, and I was like overjoyed to see that the original Kamen Rider had one for episode 39.
I was really pumped because I've only seen a little bit of Kamen Rider, and every time I've seen it, it blew my mind. Yeah. It's so cool.
Well, I think so. I'll get into this before I get into the actual episode. We've been doing the Super Sentai episodes. It's still so fucking fun. I feel like they're always so over the top and crazy, much like Cocky Ranger, which I feel like we're really building up to. But like every concept they do in Super Sentai, for especially Go Rangers or like with the original Kamen Rider, they're like, we're going to push this to an 11 and never back down.
Yeah.
This episode, for sure, episode 39, Monster Wolfman's Huge Murder Party. If I ever do start a band or something, that's such a good title.
It's honestly a great album title, too. Like, it's just a great name. It's just a perfect collection
of
words.
And my favorite thing about this is that the episode delivers its title. Like, we'll get into it later. And the constant, like, I'm going to one-up you, no, I'm one-up you, that always happens in Kamen Rider brings me so much joy, which we'll get to that part, because it's so fucking funny.
It's, okay, so the first show we've talked about made marginal sense.
Yeah.
From the next two episodes, going to be completely off the rails, complete insanity.
Yeah. We've talked about this so much in this show, just for everything, I should say the podcast, about how everything becomes more and more corporate and sanitized, and it's really depressing. And for me, watching shows like this, or even, once again, like the 90s with Cocky Rangers, when you could just be fucking insane.
You could just do whatever the fuck, and done.
We need to go back.
We need to
return. And for this episode alone, it's the perfect reason. It starts off with my favorite thing. This is a children's show in the 70s. How do they kick it off? Two drunk businessmen trying to piss outside.
They just filmed regular drunk Japanese businessmen. I was like, is this legal?
They don't dumb it down. Like,
they capture it perfectly. Yeah,
they don't even dumb it down. Like, I think if they did a thing where, like, this is children's show, like, oh, we had too much eggnog. Whoa, we gotta get home. But they're like, oh, I'm so drunk, I gotta piss.
They're like, drink, oh, my girls.
Doing a very good pronunciation, too, on it. Like, I didn't realize that in, like, 1971, which is when this would have been released, that Jingle Bells and Christmas was such a part of Japanese society already, which is fascinating to me. I'd love to see, like, a dissertation on, like, the history of it. But, like, they're fully Christmased out for this episode.
There's a lot of Christmassy shit happening the whole episode.
They kick it off where, of course, I don't feel like we need to explain it because it all makes perfect sense. There's a Wolfman virus.
Yes, and it just jumps into that. There's a Wolfman, his friend. It's two drunks, and one of them is also just a Wolfman.
Yeah. Bites him. He turns around and has the worst wolf makeup I've ever seen. Turns even more of a wolf guy, and then kills the other guy, who leaves behind a doll, but apparently that we find out it's not his children. It's just like an orphan.
It's just a random orphan child's doll.
And the logic behind this is so amazing to me, because this basically develops, and once again, because I'm a huge Kamen Rider fan, this is the second era of boss characters where it's Colonel Zol.
Yes.
He takes over for Shocker. Colonel Zol, I love describing as, like, they wanted to make a Nazi, but they actually made a Yacht Rock guy.
And they gave him very glittery eyes.
Glittery eyes, like a huge white ass cough in, like, captain's hat. And once again, he's trying to, like, look like a fascist, but he looks like he is going to play some of, like, I'd say, like, the Doobie Brothers' best hits.
if you want a great gauge of how the Wolfman costumes looked, I say costumes, I'm spoiling a little bit, but the Wolfman costume, it's like if you decided to dress like the Beast from X-Men with stuff you had from your home.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
And for that, I think it's even better. We talked about this on Hundreds of Beavers, which is an episode coming out after this. So I'm like looking into the future. But the reason I love tokusatsu, and I even say that Hundreds of Beavers is like a tokusatsu film in a way, is that you celebrate the artifice. Like, when you do something really phony in tokusatsu and Power Rangers or any of the shows you watched as a kid, like, you have a mouth that doesn't move that looks so fake, but everyone treats it like it's a real monster and it's scary. And I just love that so much. Like, you fully give into that world. And in this world, we believe that shitty-looking Wolfman is the scariest thing to ever happen.
It's magic. It's what it is. You just don't... You accept it at face value and you appreciate it. Because it's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Fucking fun.
And then this is where, like, the whole episode continues of... Colonel Zolz basically finds the doll. I want to understand his thought logic or what's going on. He assumes correctly that an orphan left it here.
He sees a doll. He's like, an orphan left it here. And there's a Wolfman.
And there's a Wolfman. We need to tame the Wolfman so that we can use him for our own good to destroy the world. And also, we need to find this orphan for some reason. What's she going to do?
Yeah, and what is her relevance? They spend a lot of time talking about this orphan.
Yeah. And then, like, once again, I thought it would tie into, like, it was, like, his daughter and they need to, like, erase all evidence. But it's just they need to get this orphan for some reason. They have, like, a whole night raid to go get her. But, of course, they're, like, trying to trick him. So, you know, Kamen Rider's already there.
Yeah, Kamen Rider talked to the orphan and they were like, she's like, I left my shoe there. And they're like, I don't know. They go investigate the scene. They see a second shoe and they're like, oh, this has to be real.
And this is the second. So this is another thing because I'm a huge Kamen Rider fan. This is Kamen Rider Ichimonji, who's the second Kamen Rider, because the first one broke his legs mid-film, so they had to replace him mid-season. And so he's like this basically photographer turned cyborg by the Shocker organization. And I love that he's working with an FBI agent, and they're talking about all the Wolfman killings going on, because they know there's Wolfman killings going on. And then when he tells him, like, oh, well, I found out this from an orphan, he's like, well, be careful what children. He's like, no, I believe it more as a child.
100%, because children never lie, dude.
It doesn't make any sense or any logic, but the way he delivers his lines, like, he's right. This guy's fucking
right. It makes
right.
sense. Like, great, your children are innocent and tell the truth at all times.
Yeah. Which, I have a toddler that's not true already. She says she has to poo-poo all the time to get out of bed.
Oh my god, Faye's a toddler.
I know. I'm pulling
up the
little
camera. Oh my god, I'm losing... Oh, it's...
Look at that.
Sorry, it's the cutest shit ever. You wouldn't understand listeners unless you've been paying attention.
I have a little baby monitor. My wife fell asleep with both the babies right now, too. But she will say all the time now, I have to go poo-poo to get out of going to bed. And let me tell you, she doesn't have to poo-poo. She's lying. Anyways, so I believe Kamen Rider, though. So they find this out. They fight the Wolfman during this whole night raid to get the orphan. One thing I want to say right away, and this is another, like, Moth RuPaul's Drag Race drop.
Moth RuPaul's Drag Race.
And the outfits are amazing. I love the setting style, but the night shots and the night cinematography they do is so beautiful. I really
like it.
It looks
cool.
It looks so neat. And I know they were doing it for budget constraints back in the 70s, and they just got film in, like, basically for TV production that could pick up night, like, shots. So a lot of production companies were like, we gotta do nothing but night shots. And you know what? They're right. It looks neat.
It proves once again that art style will always conquer over money.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you even go back a few years before when they were doing, like, Ultra 7 and Ultraman. They also had the same thing where they started getting more technology where they could do more night shots. So they did a lot of night episodes. And they look like art house films still when you go back to them. Like,
yeah.
They look so good. That aside, the Wolfman escapes. He needs to spread his wolf virus. So basically, they find out he's going to a rendezvous to drop off his... I said that so
far. Rendezvous.
Rendezvous. That's a great band name.
That's a great band
name. Rendezvous. He's going off to drop it off with the Shocker agents at a helicopter. Once again, this is another shout out to how much I love this episode. They have a helicopter stunt where Ichimonji goes to jump on the helicopter. This motherfucker is jumping on the helicopter for real.
And he murders them. Like, they fucking die.
They fall out of it.
They, like, you see the helicopter go into a mountain and explode.
Yeah. And once again, this is, like, going back to the day and age of, I'm sure it was, like, we would never do anything that unsafe, but, like, it's cool watching because, like, they for sure were doing that for real. And that looked super dangerous.
You see him hanging in, like, literally. At first I was like, oh, that must be low to the ground. But no, he's hanging. It's clearly hovering.
Yeah. And it might have been a stun double. It might have been him, but fuck, that was cool.
It looked really cool.
The helicopter explodes. They drop a briefcase full of Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, logs. I put, he straight up killed two people. Wait, never mind, they're the KKK. So it's like, it doesn't matter.
Good job.
He killed KKK people, it's fine.
Well, yeah, the minions, they have two, the Shocker Grunts, why am I forgetting their name right now? I'm going to remember. But the Shocker Grunts, basically, they're a little bit comical because they look like Mexican wrestlers.
Yes.
And they always go, ee! When they do their salute. So they're hard to take serious, but then you remember, like, oh no, they are an evil fascist organization. Thank you for reminding me, Kamen Rider.
And they have a very fascist-y design still, on the invitation especially.
Yeah, the lettering is amazing, so. I'm trying to think. Oh, they're Combat Men, Shocker Combat Men.
Oh, okay.
Great name, though. They are just called Grunts sometimes, too, but I love that design. I gotta do that as, like, a Halloween costume one of these years. It'd be really fun. So they find that they had an invitation to go to, once again, the Monster Wolf Man's huge murder party. They put on the robes, and this is a, once again, like I said, where they one-up each other for like three times.
Such a crazy reveal.
Yeah. You know what? Jonathan, tell me about it. I want to hear
about it. They're like, all right, everybody, take off. There's like some weird lame excuse for them to take off their robes. Yeah. And they're all taking off their robes, and then one guy doesn't, and you're like, oh, fuck, because he can't. He's the Kamen Rider. Yeah. So they're like, ha, this was my trap. You fell right into it. And they're like, you fucking idiot. We knew it was a trap the whole time.
You don't get free KK robes out of nowhere, you know? I said KK like I dropped a K. The Ku Klux, they're dropping the Klan. They're Facebooking it. Or sorry, Sean Parker, I fucked it up.
And so it's like, okay, now the other guy's trapped. I don't understand what your plan, why this was. But they still somehow kicked their ass.
Oh, I forgot. There's two bad plans that somehow work. They have this where he's like, okay, it's actually me, the FBI agent. And he would be more fucked than Kamen Rider.
Exactly. No, he's not a cyborg.
He throws his robe and he gets out of there and he's fine. I forgot earlier when they duped the Wolfman during the night raid, they reveal like, oh, you thought you grabbed the orphan girl. It's actually an orphan boy. I'm like, no, that's bad. Don't give him a child and place him a child. But the child's like, nah, I'm fine. And he runs off. So props to both of them. You know, this leads to him chasing out Colonel Zol. For some reason, the Wolfman's done at this point. The Colonel Zol reveals he's, like, the penultimate Omega Wolfman.
Yeah, he's like, also, I'm a Wolfman. You think I wasn't a Wolfman?
And this is another crazy thing that I love about this episode so much. This is, like, the showdown fight for them, and he kills him. He murks him.
He totally kills his ass, immediately.
He was the arcing villain for Shocker for, like, X amount of episodes.
I was wondering if he was, like, a one-off, or if he's actually been, like, a long-time villain. Because I was like, they immediately kill him. Like, no, he immediately loses.
He was around for a good second there. I'm going to look how many episodes it was real quick. But it's funny that he got fucking killed in the Christmas episode. You know, it sucks to be him, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's embarrassing how fast he died.
Yeah. Oh, he shows up in Kamen Rider V3, too, I forgot. That's so funny. Good for him.
Yeah. So he didn't die?
Yeah. You didn't kick him hard enough, so. Let me see how many episodes it is. Okay, latest appearance. Oh, they do latest to most recent. I don't need that. Oh, full episode appearances. There we go. Yeah, he's around from episode 26 all the way to episode 39.
Wow.
So
that is a whole arc. He literally ends his arc on Christmas.
It's kind of magic to
that's
die
beautiful.
Christmas.
Yeah.
It's some Santa Claus magic. Shout out to Colonel Zol. I'm sorry you got murked, but you fucking got. Much like, once again, CEO Brian Thompson.
It makes you realize Jesus didn't die for nothing.
Yeah. The Wolfman died for his sins. I'm going to get to the review for this episode. Oh, also, the end of the episode reveals, because at the beginning of the children say, I don't want to see fucking Santa Claus. I don't want Kamen Rider.
So I was like, you know what? I think I would like Kamen Rider more than Santa Claus.
That was my first note.
But I will also say, it was pretty gauche if you pay attention. Kamen Rider gives a Kamen Rider toy to one of the kids, and I was like, that's kind of tasteless.
But if I was a kid, that'd fucking blow my mind. I'd be like so over the moon about it. Kamen Rider, come be my Santa Claus, sit on my lap. I'm going to give this, and just go to reviews, this is a 4.5 out of 5 Christmas cheer for me. I feel like I'm going to put together like a yearly viewing now of like Sentai or Tokusatsu episodes. I would for sure put this in the rotation. It's so fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. I'd give it a 4. There was a couple teensy, like, few parts that were kind of boring, where they went to the other people that had no relevance, where they were kind of discussing what was going on. But overall, it was crazy and fun. It was awesome.
I mean, just when they get to the one-upping of the, we gave you fake party robes. No, I knew you were going to give me fake party robes. It's so good. Okay, we saved the best for last.
Yeah, this has got to be some, I don't even know how to start talking about this one. This one was so crazy.
So I want to, first off, I haven't talked about it on Podzuki too much, but I've watched most of Ninja Sentai Kaku Rangers, because it's all on Tubi/Pluto TV if you want to watch it. You can go to Shout Factory TV as well. I highly recommend it, but this was basically the Super Sentai show that ran from about, like, 1994 to 1995. It was actually the first series after Zoo Rangers, which is what we reskinned as Power Rangers in the States.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, which is fun.
I was wondering if this was somehow it, but okay, that makes more sense.
And they reused some of the scenes and fights from this for Power Rangers for the second season. But Kaku Rangers is a near and dear show to me because it is an insane show and it's so fun to watch.
That makes sense. After having seen this episode, that makes complete sense.
And let me go, this, like, I feel like gives the plot of the series. Reading from the Wikipedia, 400 years ago, the ninja and the yokai had a great war. Yokai, of course, demons in Japan, folklore and myth. The legendary Satorobi Sasuke and four other ninjas sealed the yokai commander Nira Hoyan and all of his yokai's energies in a cave and protected the seal door. Of course, that seal door gets kicked open. They have to get all of the Rangers back together to fucking kill them and murk them. Kaku Rangers is an insane show because there's so many things going on.
It was insane from start to end. There was no lulls in the episode.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
It's it just starts off, like, and literally, like I was saying, there's a little Santa child.
So it's someone breaking into a home, and it's clearly a Santa Claus breaking into a home, so you think, oh, it's Santa dropping presents off, but no, he's not. He like, scares this kid, and it seems like maybe he's stealing presents? Is how it was initially lead. Yeah. And then they catch him, and it's a child?
It's a child, and he is little Santa.
Chibi Santa, he goes by.
Yeah, Chibi Santa, so you think to yourself, like, this is, like, Santa's kid, and we're gonna meet Santa Claus later on. I have so much delightful...
And you are not right.
I have so much delightful news as the episode progresses, but we'll get there when we get there. He's saying, I'm just here to give out presents. Why are you doing this to me?
So, and they're like, no, why? It's not... What day was it? Like 22nd or 21st or something? It wasn't even near Christmas.
And the Kaku Rangers are like, okay, let's see what he's doing. So they see the presents, and they see, like, all the children are getting sick, because there's basically, like, evil centipedes on them. And that's when they review that, basically... There's an evil yokai that's the... I wrote down his name, which, of course, is... I don't know how you pronounce it, but Okamade. He's an old yokai that's basically like a centipede... Centipede demon.
But he's also...
I've had two beers.
A fucking linebacker is how they represent him.
Okay, once again, we're having another Moth Through Paul's Drag Race.
Moth Through Paul's Drag Race.
His outfit and design is fucking top
tier. It is the best bad guy. I was so fucking pumped when I saw it.
He has basically like a football, American football outfit, but it's centipede themed. He kicks evil centipede balls around. And he has missiles that shoot off his back later on.
And he's great at kicking these balls. He kicks one single football and hits all of them.
And the best thing about this episode is every once in a while he just says phrases in English. Like when he's meeting with the big bad, he goes, okay, boss. And I'm just like, I love this man. I want to marry this man.
So badass.
Yeah. Basically Little Santa's been set up by him. And we find out that the centipede demon... Explaining this is so hard to do, and it's so funny. So Little Santa has the Santa delivery truck. Santa has modernized, and there's a magical truck that flies around.
And they're like, I thought he had a sleigh. And he's like, what, are you fucking idiot? He's an adult. Like, times have changed, dude.
It's 1995. We live in the fucking future. He has a flying truck.
Reindeer are stupid, you morons.
Little Santa grabbed it. The centipede demon realized, I can take this to go everywhere and give people evil presents.
So they steal the car.
Yeah. And, well, to describe this as we go, they steal the car, so the Kaku Rangers have to use their fucking wand truck, which is basically a dog truck that they have, Okay, and I've watched the series before. It's just a usual truck they use to go around. At some point in the series, it gains magic powers and can fly.
And then there's a Ninja Man. Okay, we'll have to talk more about Ninja Man, especially later, but there's also a Ninja Man that follows them on the cloud.
So this is another thing. You know like how a lot of these Power Ranger series have like a six Power Ranger, like a green Power Ranger? There's this Ninja Man, which is basically an old, like, golem ninja. Like, basically an old autonomy, like, I'm saying it so fucking fucked up. I can't say it right now. A homunculus, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, a homunculus brought to life out of ninja powers. He helps them out. His whole power is that he becomes so angry that he goes into a rage.
And he's clearly very stupid. They established that a lot in the episode.
So, he's there to help, but he's too stupid and too angry, although maybe even too horny, who knows. But he shows up and he tries to stop Little Santa, but then he has to assist Little Santa to fly to Santa Village so that they can stop the centipede guy from giving evil centipedes to all the Santa presents.
So, as they're going to Santa Village, the bad guys are like...
I feel like we are insane trying to... Like, if somebody's listening to this, like, they've gone bonkers. This is not real.
They're like, oh, they're going to Santa Village. Too bad they'll never leave. And they don't really say how or why that's the case.
Yeah. It's like, the tone is like, if you go to Santa Village and your heart is impure, you'll never leave because you'll be stuck in the Shadow Dimension.
So, they get to Santa Village, and it's a Santa castle.
Yeah.
And they decide to sneak in, even though they have a Santa child there.
They're ninjas.
I don't know.
I mean, is it racist to say this? But they're ninjas, so their disposition is to sneak around. I'm sorry if it sounds racist, but that's what ninjas
do. Why
do
they have to sneak in?
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, they get caught very early.
And okay, another thing we might have left out is the entire village of Santa men.
Yes, there's no elves. Everyone's Santa.
And my favorite thing is they show like they're all doing like different Santa activities. Like they're shopping at the Santa grocery store.
There's a Santa band that consists
of a Santa band that's
keyboard and guitar. Yeah. That's it.
Which is a perfect band. But my favorite thing is they go into a movie theater when they're trying to hide and they're watching
a Santa Sentai,
and they are called the Kloss Men. Or the Kloss Rangers, sorry. And I'm like, that is such a fucking great idea.
Great meta joke.
Yeah. They need to make that a real series.
I would love that.
Yeah. But that's when Santa reveals that he knows there's intruders there. And this is a whole nother layer. The real Santa Claus says, hey, these five guys snuck in. They're actually ninjas. Bring them to me. And then it turns out he's the centipede demon. He's the fake Santa Claus.
Oh. And one thing. There's battle music that happens. And I don't know if you noticed this. It's literally the Mortal Kombat theme.
It is straight up the Mortal Kombat theme.
I don't know if that happens in the show more than once.
Okay, let me see real quick here.
I heard that and I was like, holy shit. If you just yell Mortal Kombat, it's that
song.
Like, I lost my shit when that happened.
Okay, Mortal Kombat 1992. This is lining up. I want to see when the movie came out, so.
Because.
Mortal Kombat was 1995. The series was 1995.
It's the
movie.
Same time.
So they know, they heard the theme, and they're like, we're just
playing. We're just going to steal the shit.
That rules. So yeah, they get towards the Santa Claus, they realize he's the Santa demon, so they're like, okay, we're going to fight you.
They start choking Santa out.
Straight up, they need to save Little Santa. So this goes to the usual thing, where basically he reveals that he's the centipede yokai.
Yes.
They fight him, they beat him, he becomes big. They beat that guy, too.
And then Ninja Man becomes Samurai Man.
Yeah, because he gets so angry.
Excellent glow up.
Yeah. He gets so angry, he becomes Samurai Man, they slash him in half. And before he dies, he screams in English, Merry Christmas! And that's basically, like, the whole episode. They go back, Little Santa is restored, he can deliver all the presents, they can help him out to get everybody what they need. They're having a magical Christmas time.
I made a note because they also laugh at Ninja Man sleeping outside being homeless. I was like, wait, the Ninja Man is homeless? Yeah. Japan hates homeless people.
Like, you guys are embracing late-stage capitalism before we got to it. Like, you're ready, man. Shout out once again to Brian Thompson being dead.
Merry Christmas.
Well, should I make that the title of the episode? No, I shouldn't do that. I'm just going to get to it for the review and the rating. 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5 for me, too, dude. It was so badass the whole time. I mentioned earlier that my wife decided to give up and go to take a bath.
Yeah.
I interrupted her bath after this, and I was like, you missed out. This is
Honey,
the greatest shit.
I'm so sorry I started off with the first one. Yeah, Gal Rangers, like, you're fine. You didn't do a bad job, but this is, like, this is primo.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
It's, oh, man.
It is an insane ride from start to end. The Girl Ranger, like, dresses like a hippie. Her parents work for Lockheed Martin. You can clearly tell.
Yeah, they're just manufacturing microchips for drones to kill, you know, endangered and unfortunate children in third world countries.
It was glorious. All three of them were fun, but that one blew my mind.
Yeah. I'm glad my order of how I watched them was specifically how we did the episode, and sorry, because I just was going through my notes, but it was basically, I did Gal Rangers, and I was like, this is fun. Like, I wasn't getting excited, but I'm like, okay, I'm still enjoying this. Kamen Rider Instant was like, okay, yeah, we're there, baby, yeah. And then Kamen Rider's like, no, you took me home.
When I saw the title of this, I don't know if we mentioned it, it's called The Hasty Santa. It sounds boring,
yeah.
I will say. I was like, okay, whatever.
They lost the details.
Yeah. And it's such a fake name. Yeah. It's just because he tries to give the centipede trap presents early.
The title should have been Santa's Coming and So Am I. Because emotionally, that's where I was at the end of the episode.
Phenomenal. It blew my mind. Yeah. It really did.
I'm giving a full recommendation, too, if you ever get the time. Start going through on Pluto TV or even Shout Factory TV and watch some Kaku Ranger episodes. It's such a fun, insane show.
It might become a yearly watch for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is where I wanted to kind of end the episode on before we get to recommendations and plugs. But, like, what are some of your favorite, like, holiday properties or things to watch?
As crazy as it sounds, it's such a weird mid-show, but I love Everybody Loves Raymond. And all of their Christmas episodes are so fucking funny to me. It's just, it reminds me of all the bullshit holiday shit that I always go through growing up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was, like, a time and a place that it captured it really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, also just as, like, a comedian, too, of, you know, Raymond himself. He was a funny guy. He got what's going on. He's a great actor.
He is a surprisingly good actor. The Big Sick, he might be the best actor in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, Kumail Nanjiani, who's trying?
He did. No, it's a good film, but yeah. Like Ray Romano blew my mind in that film.
Yeah, he was so good. And just like they had a lot of very tender moments that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, God, it's so fucking plebeian, but I just have to embrace it. Every year, the only thing I like for Christmas music, straight up, is with the Vince Guaraldi trio of the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Beautiful.
It's just good jazz music.
Phenomenal jazz.
I do like the Charlie Brown Christmas special, too. I mean, this is another one, too, that everybody's go for, but the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Muppet Christmas Carol is always perfect. The Christmas Carol at Goodman this year was phenomenal, by the way.
I do want to see it.
If you haven't checked it out, I recommend it. My wife and I watch it every year.
Yeah, they always do a good production.
And this year it might be the best one we've seen.
It's not too late. It's not too late. I can change my ways. That'd be a fun meta play to do if you're trying to get to see the Christmas Carol. How do you feel about Scrooged?
I have never seen it.
Really?
That's the, I almost said Billy Crystal, but it's Bill not. Murray. It's Bill Murray. I've never actually seen the Bill Murray Scrooged.
I liked it a lot as a kid, and then I remember seeing it as like maybe an early adult, like let's say maybe my early 20s again. I was like, I feel like it's fine. And I haven't watched it since. I kind of want to go back just to see what it feels like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. The late 80s is just a dystopian of messaging and movies, I feel like.
I watched Elf for the first time, and that was surprisingly fun.
Yeah, fun con role.
It was fun. And apparently Con hated Will Ferrell.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, God, this guy's being such an annoying prick.
I mean, that's like, I mean, if anything, that's the energy you want.
But that's perfect. Yeah, it makes sense in context.
And then it's funny, like, as I've gotten older and, like, reading more interviews about, like, Will Ferrell and, like, how he's a person, he seems like a pretty good dude, too. I'm surprised he, like, came off as so annoying.
His documentary with about his best friend that was a co-writer being trans.
Yeah.
It's great.
I really want to watch that, too. I gotta get around to it.
It's actually a really good documentary.
And I think it's funny. I saw a lot of, like, reviews and people talking about, like, this is kind of, like, what you need of, like, this appeals to, like, bro culture that will never understand. Like, this is the film they'll watch and be like, oh, I fucking get it. I get trans people. Like, it's a good thing you did.
It's really good.
Yeah, we'll put that in the 24 recommendations, too. It was a light year for movies.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's great, honestly.
Yeah, I got to watch it still, but I'm going to say I will watch it. I'll give it my full approval if it's good. I have one day to do it. I mean, I should just do it when I'm fucking... I mean, I'm working from home tomorrow. The only other thing, too, I wanted to talk about, too, is do you come from a Christmas family?
Whew, that comes with a lot of baggage. So, yes, and my Christmases have always been horrible.
Nice.
So, I come from a family who, we celebrate Christmas in my immediate family on Christmas Eve.
Are you all very religious?
No.
Okay.
So we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve to open the presents or whatever, and then we always went to either one of my grandparents' families for Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And I come from a lovely family where both my mother and father had parents who hated them.
Oh, that's fun.
So we always would go to these other families where they treated us like crap.
Now as a father of two, I love my daughters dearly. I just imagine an entire life of like supporting and loving them. How do you have children and be like, I hate these guys?
Like, how do you select favorites? It's insane to me.
But I mean, also, it's like, it shows, I think, as a species, if we do survive what's going on currently, which we might not. I hope we do. but I think we are progressively getting better, more empathetic, and more loving. But really, like, you even go back two generations like this, and it really was like, you have children because you have to, and you can just hate them. You can just fucking abuse them. You don't have to be good towards them. So, I don't know, maybe we are getting better as a species.
Craziest Christmas story.
Yeah.
One year, I went to my grandmother on my mother's side, mm-hmm. Went to her house, and so my cousin, one of them got a car, and the other one got, very nice jeans and several PlayStation games. I got a towel.
Oh my god.
And I was like, this is perfect. It gets my tears. How did you know?
It can wash it away.
You captured it. You really understood Christmas for me.
And also, like, the three levels between those two is so wild. Because car,
yeah.
Top of the top, like, that's thousands of dollars invested. You have to be really going above and beyond for this person. Mm-hmm. Then the next level is, like, jeans and PlayStation games. That's a lot of money. That's still an investment. And then the third one, towel.
Like, $5.
Like, $5 insane. At best. And I don't think they're, like, looking for, like, a good thread count terry cloth of, like...
Yeah, they might have gotten a subpar towel. I actually don't remember.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of good, fond Christmas memories because my parents were... They're very loving and good parents, and they really enjoyed Christmas. It's just scary, probably, like, being raised by those as parents. I'm glad... Hopefully your parents are doing better.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we ended on a weird note, I feel like.
What a delightful... Merry Christmas, everybody.
You know what? Don't adhere to traditions too hard. And if you do, just make sure it's fun, you know?
Yeah, have fun. That's all that really matters.
Have a little eggnog.
Love your kids.
It's not that hard. As a parent now, I'm like, that's like the first impulse. And it's weird to think, once again, like going back a few generations, having kids and your first thoughts, like, I gotta deal with this.
Yeah.
These fuckers, like, man. Hoo boy. That's a lot to decompress on. Do you have any fun plans for the year ahead?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's just like 2025 is like surviving.
Yeah, we just got to figure out what's going to happen first.
And I'm just all over the place because it's that thing of like, I feel like with the Trump administration, if we get a repeat, we're going to be fine. Because basically, the first Trump administration, he didn't do shit. He was out golfing.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's mostly lying, honestly.
Everybody was fighting each other in-house all the time. Nothing really got done. But this time there's a lot more evil people in play, and that makes me more uncomfortable.
I know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Murder more CEOs. That's the lesson
that's
of the...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the good note to leave on. I'll leave on, like, a recommendations and plugs. As always, if it's the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. at Lincoln Lodge, go out there to Thirst for Adventure, our D&D one-shot show I do with Hobart Thompson and a few other friends. I'm about to burp. Sorry, I had two beers. This is really hard for me. It's a really fun D&D show. We always get a lot of good comedians and musicians and people that we like in the scene. For recommendations, I'm going to just say watch the Cocky Ranger Christmas special.
That is a must watch.
That's my recommendation, I think, for a long time going forward. So,
I don't have anything to plug. I'm not doing anything right now. I am surviving because it's been a crazy year for me.
Yeah.
I recommend the Slift Ilion album again, and you should watch Kirkman's show. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. But also, here's to just getting through 2025.
Kudos to you.
Yeah, I hope this is like a weird timestamp where people come back to this in a few years and things are already going better and like, wow, that was rough.
Why are we so worried? Yeah, I hope that's the case.
It might not be. I was going to end on a more positive note, so...
High five!
We did it! We traversed over all our adversities.
Yep.
And, I don't know.
We love you all!
We love you, watch the Cuckoo Ranger Christmas special.
We regret that you have not yet complied with our order.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
The words get stuck in my throat.